Okay, everyone, how are we doing? This is the Celtic Way morning briefing for Thursday the 29th of February, a date that is only comes around once every 4 years, Ryan, a leap year, they call it. Do they call it a leap year? Is that the whole year or is that the day? Is that a leap day?
It's the whole year, but it's an extra day that's added on because of that.
What I don't know the ins and outs of it. Come on.
29th of February. I don't know if it's got a special day or name attributed to it, but you know, it feels like a special day today. It feels like an extra day thanks to last night's performance.
Did Celtic take a big leap last night, Ryan? A leap forward, some may say. It was magic, yeah. Wasn't it? It was just incredible performance. What was it like to be there?
Oh, absolutely brilliant. You know, that people that were on the briefing last night into this morning know that this has been quite a quick turnaround in terms of me being on that and then on this morning one. But I'm very happy to talk about it again because, just being in the stadium was brilliant. It was such a united front from the players to the supporters to the manager. Everybody seemed to be singing from the same hymn sheet, and it was just a great atmosphere, one of the best atmospheres I've been at in a long, long time. I think that's up there. It's right up there, not in terms of the magnitude of the game, but in terms of overall atmosphere, it's up there with the 3-0 Rangers game for me. I just think everybody was in a joint mood, and that was helped due to the fact that Celtic were playing some really, really good football that first half. The noise that the fans made when the players were walking off the park, it's as if they toppled a giant or something. It was incredible. Yeah, it was just a great night all in, and it's just such a massive confidence booster going into this next run of fixtures.
100%. Graham calling you the trooper. It's like he never stops. Short turnaround for him. Yeah, you got in late, but it's easier to do it after a game like that. I was buzzing watching it. Just thought it was excellent. As good as I've seen Celtic play in a long time. You know, pretty much from the first minute. It was interesting because we actually, for that first minute, Dundee had a couple of chances, and I was watching it and I'm kind of thinking, is this going to be another letdown after, you know, the high of the way Sunday finished? But really after that, and the team just had real appetite. You know, all of the things that we've kind of been critical of in recent weeks were put right, I felt. Like the fullbacks were both excellent, and they were really not just getting crosses in, because it's clear that was a game plan. I mean, 6 of our 7 goals came from crosses, but it wasn't just the fact they were putting crosses in, they were putting real quality into the box. I mean, both Johnson and Taylor had, at least one assist each, but not just that, there was people in the end of the crosses as well, and people you wouldn't necessarily expect to be on the end of the crosses. It wasn't like we're putting in the ball and it was just Adam Ida every time. Carter Vickers was scoring, albeit from a free kick, and you know, Daniel Kelly was scoring from a cross ball in the second half, and Greg Taylor was in the end of one, and Matt O'Reilly was in the end of one. It was just a really good night. The midfield was back to being what we want it to be. It was O'Reilly back to his best. McGregor was great. Iwata just kind of goes about his business quietly but makes such a difference. And Ida was excellent as well. And, you know, Joe Hart made, you know, a big save kind of early on. So it was just positive all round, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was absolutely no negatives apart from the fact that, you know, maybe the sloppiest player on the park was Cameron Carter-Vickers with that chance that he gave to the Dundee striker.
But how well did Iwata do from that, by the way?
I thought Scales and Iwata did so well to box the striker and not allow him any shot at goal whatsoever. Iwata for me is a first pick from now until the end of the season. The protection,
even when Hitati's back?
I think there's a conversation to be had there with regard to what it depends on the game. If you're looking,
it's a good problem to have.
He's everything that a lot of Celtic signings haven't been recently. He's not a project, he's a player that knows his position. 26, 27 years old, he can come in and make an immediate difference. I thought he was an absolute colossus last night, and he didn't really need to defend that much, but that's because he was there and he wasn't allowing Dundee to make things happen. Very strong on the ball, a good passer of the ball, doesn't take too many risks. He's like the anti-Hitati. And that he doesn't take a lot of
anti-Hattie.
I don't know anti-Hattie. If that'll catch on, Hamish. I was really impressed by his performance last night, but it wasn't the only one. I'm sure we'll talk about Yang individually, but you know, he really set the tone when he skinned Owen Beck for that first chance for the free kick that led to Carter Vickers' opening goal. That set the tone. You know, he got his beating of his man, and he had that joy all night. It was that sort of game where everyone seemed to take the confidence from individual moments that were happening, and yeah, there was a buzz about the place for sure.
We've been told to calm down, Patrick. Come on, Patrick, liven up. We've just scored 7 goals. I mean, we can be a bit excited. No, we've been, you know, pessimistic enough about the past few months, and it's been enough of a struggle at times watching this Celtic team, and we've called it kind of game at a time sometimes. And last night was a really positive performance, and like, there's so much still to do and so much proving still to be done from this team. I mean, we beat Dundee at home last night. I think Sunday, you know, we'll find out so much more. Sunday is like a proper huge game with everything probably going to be against us, you know, 5 points behind, I would guess, at that stage. 500 odd fans in a stadium of 20,000. Hearts, you know, generally in pretty good form, albeit their last couple haven't been quite as good. Sunday's going to be a huge game, but like, I feel so much better about Sunday than I did a day ago. Like, I feel that if we bring that level on Sunday, we'll be absolutely fine. I want to just go through a few comments. James is a hard person to please. Missed a trick last night. First half was excellent, but should have been at least 10-0. But to concede a goal when they had only 10 men is shocking. I agree with you to an extent, James. I think that's, for me, there is one disappointment last night, and it's a slight one, but conceding that goal, and I think it's now one clean sheet in 6 matches, it's a wee bit frustrating. But in the grand scheme of things, like, you know, every Celtic fan would have taken 7-1 last night. Scott saying, morning lads, you think Rodgers just took McGregor to the side and said to him, I want you to play like last season? That looked like Ange Ball again. It actually did look like Ange Ball in terms of the cross balls and the tempo we played at.
Yeah, they gave Dundee no time whatsoever to set in the defence, and they really forced the issue of early doors, putting that early ball into the box. Dundee looked lost at sea whenever a ball came into the box. You know, Celtic were bullying Dundee in the defence last night. That Carter Vickers goal just leaps over his man as if he wasn't there. Yeah. Uses him as leverage almost to get the header in. Ida
as well.
I'd tell you how good a header that is, because he's actually...
It's better than Motherwell.
It's up there because he's facing the wrong way and he still manages to get it. That was meant to be his weakness. Norwich experts were saying that he wasn't great at headers. Well, he's not been showing it for Norwich, but he's certainly showing it for Celtic at this moment in time. But I just think he's a focal point, and Brendan Rodgers was calling him a reference point last night. I thought Ida was so effective. A couple of touches as well. You know, he's clearly a good dribbler with the ball, and his close control is good. I think he's a guy that's just growing from strength to strength at the moment. And I think Celtic may rue not putting an option to buy on that deal or negotiating an option to buy, because you're at the mercy of Norwich at this point here, that if he does well, they can ask whatever they want of teams, and that could be problematic. But if the player's settled and he continues doing this from now until the end of the season, then I think it might be a no-brainer bringing him in for next season.
Yeah, Joseph asking just that, what do we think, sign Ida in the summer and let go of O or look for someone else? I mean, there's a long way to go this season, but if you're making a decision now, you know, 100% you would sign Ida. I mean, he scored 5 goals already, and he scored
six games.
And you know, 4 of them have basically taken us from defeats to victories. So his contribution has been massive. And yeah, I really like him. I just think there's an interesting kind of thing developing here over, you know, what's happening with Kyogo. Now, Kyogo was fine yesterday. I'm not going to read into that chance he missed, because it's probably a decent save. Should score, but it's a decent save. But just generally, the point about Ida being a more effective option for the way we're wanting to play, I mean, where does it leave Kyogo at this point?
It's interesting. I didn't think he was that great when he came on last night, I'll be honest with you. I thought he was quite wasteful whenever he was in possession. He gave away a ball quite a bit. He was trying to make things happen, but
yeah,
it might be just a consequence of the fact that the game was over as a contest, and I think a lot of the players maybe not down tools, but the tempo went down, as is expected. The game is over as a competitive contest, and that's to be expected. The fact that Brendan Rodgers took off a lot of players after 60 minutes as well made you think that, right, it's time to switch this about and get ready for the next game. Keep your assets fresh. But Kyogo came on, you know, he did have that chance. Something's not clicking for him just now, whatever it is, but it's definitely clicking for Adam Ida. Ida seems to be the better option up front. He's given just that bit more. Maybe Ida's just a better fit in a Brendan Rodgers team, a bit more imposing, gets in about challenges a bit more. He's not scared to throw his weight about as well. Got a booking for doing that last night, but he stands up for himself. He takes absolutely no prisoners whatsoever. At this moment in time, I think it's a no-brainer as who starts games between Ida and Kyogo. It's Ida's jersey to lose at this point in time. But that's down to him. It's not down to Kyogo playing badly. It's down to Ida playing so well. Yeah. He's the one that's got the yellow jersey at the moment.
I don't think he's playing any worse than he was like a couple of months ago, Kyogo. I just think that Ida is, like, I don't think many could argue right now that he isn't a better option. I posed the question the other day to Kevin and Tony, you know, when the derby comes around, who do you go with? And I think that's still an interesting one, but, you know, probably even for that at the moment, you would have to look at Ida, but I'm kind of doubting myself as I say that. Ida, excellent. I really enjoyed his contribution again last night. And yes, Mikey, the disrespect to O by some fans is disappointing. 100% agree with you. O is going to be a star. Not now, but soon. I know you're raising your eyebrows, Ryan, but he'll prove everyone wrong. You mark my words. Yeah. No, I agree. Third choice for now, but it's good to have a striker who's confident in scoring. Who else do we want to pick on? Yang was good again last night. I know it was something Rodgers brought up after the match, and he referenced the previous time Dundee had come to Glasgow, well, to Celtic Park, and Owen Beck had effectively pocketed Yang that day. Maybe Yang came off at half-time, something like that. Last night, Yang was really good, right from the off. I think Owen Beck got booked after a couple of minutes for the free kick, which led to the opening goal, Carter Vickers' header. So Yang's contribution was great. He didn't score, but the amount of crosses he got, I mean, I think his cross led to the McGregor goal? Was it his cross led to the Kelly goal? I might be wrong there, but
he got the one assist. It was to Kelly for the seventh goal.
But he also, it was his cross that led to the McGregor goal. So obviously there was a bit of play after that.
Yeah.
No, but it was still him, you know, absolutely, putting the ball in a dangerous area.
Yeah, he was. I thought he was absolutely tremendous last night, and it was quite fitting that he got that slight knock. I think he had cramp in the game, but I think he was going off anyway, and he was allowed to just walk around the byline or around the touchline, and he got the full applause of the fans from where he came off, about the halfway line, all the way to the other side. He got the adulation of the support, and that was absolutely brilliant. I thought last night was his breakout performance, if I'm being honest. I don't want to go too far in the praise of him, but I thought he was absolutely tremendous. He's so unorthodox as a winger. He's unlike anything Celtic have got in any other position or any wing position or any other individual that they've got. His dribbling style is quite weird. He doesn't look as if he's got control of the ball a lot of the time. I think that's confusing defenders as well.
Yeah.
He's just so direct. He's easily Celtic's most direct winger at this point in time. And I thought he was just electrifying last night, the way he was going at Owen Beck. With not a fear in the world, you know, Owen Beck's got a lot of hype about him at the moment, you know, coming from Liverpool, just made his debut. Yang had him every single time. You know, there was a point where I think it was for that McGregor goal where Yang kind of stops the ball.
Did him twice.
Yeah, he's like, I'll just do it again. He's such a confidence player, but his tail was definitely up, and he was the Celtic Way's star man that I put an article out about this morning, wrote about it last night, put it out this morning. I think he's just going to go from strength to strength in a Celtic shirt, and he's one of the first names in the team sheet for me for Tynecastle as well. I thought he was that good last night, and I'm hoping that he can just keep this consistent streak going, because he did it for half an hour against Motherwell. He did it for 75 minutes against Dundee, so you're hoping that he can just bring it up a level for Hearts at Tynecastle.
Yeah, I wouldn't I don't think I'd make any changes to the team for Tynecastle, but we can maybe chat about that. Ross saying Taylor and O'Reilly with a goal and two assists each, a big contribution from them. Attack, attack, attack. Saying Big Ida is a difference, someone to get the end of crosses. Huge shot in the arm last night. Big difference is the early cross into the box. And yeah, we do have a player in the middle who's very good at heading the ball into the net, clearly, but I like the fact there was just more emphasis on getting players into the box. I mean, it was no coincidence that Greg Taylor got in the end of a cross, Matt O'Reilly got in the end of the cross. I don't think that was happening, you know, a few weeks ago. I don't think there was that urgency to get into the box. So it's clearly something that's been said. I mean, the Postecoglou teams were famous for players getting on the end of things and putting them in, so I think that's why people were likening it to that. But God, it was just, for all of the frustration watching Celtic this season, last night on its own was brilliant. Like, it was so, that first half, we were 6-0 up at half time. More of the players who started the match had scored than hadn't scored, and that's including Joe Hart. It's ridiculous.
Crazy. It was absolutely crazy. There were so many good performances, you know, especially throughout to those fullbacks that were getting the ball into the box quick and early.
Johnson was back to his best, wasn't he?
He was tremendous. I thought he was tremendous in the lead up to the Dundee player getting that second yellow, which I thought very easily could have been a red card on its own. That's a guy that's trying to go for a goal when you're 7-0 up. He's pushing forward to try and get the ball in the box. I don't know. He's a different man since he took that mask off. He's been unmasked, and he's just I don't know what has happened to him, but he just looks like he fits. And it looks like there's a growing partnership there between Yang and Johnson as well, because they're not getting in each other's way. They know when somebody's going to overlap, when somebody's going to put a ball into the box, when somebody's going to stay back. I thought both were absolutely brilliant down that side, and Greg Taylor was good as well. He's playing a lot more inverted as well. He's playing in the midfield at times. But I like that one of them's playing inverted, one of them's playing more of a traditional fullback role, because that plays to Greg Taylor's strengths, because he's better when he comes into the middle of the park and overflows the midfield. It's helping guys like Awata and McGregor, because they can go further forward and Greg Taylor can dictate when he goes into the middle. So, yeah, his ball to... Who was the ball that
O'Reilly?
Yeah, that was just another. That was like a carbon copy of the goal that they scored at the weekend. I'm liking that ball. It's just, there's not a lot of power that goes into it, but it's so accurate that O'Reilly can just put his head onto it, and it's an easy goal.
The fullback seemed to find a lot of space last night. I'm not intelligent enough tactically to work out why that was, but certainly Greg Taylor for the weekend and last night for those two, you know, goals you're talking about, had a lot of space and didn't mess about with it, just put it into the box. I like that play. It's like, it's a game plan and a game style that we've seen. We've been calling out for that all season, and it's not been apparent for most of the season. So to see that last night was good. Gordon saying, my optimism came to light last night in a way. Predicted 7-0, but I'll take 7-1. Magnificent from the boys. And a... pointed out here, no sign of Hugo being downbeat, and said he was in his element, giving young Kelly some jovial initiation when he scored. Tom pointing out, you may or may not know this, a Dundee bus actually broke down and got towed away as they left Celtic Park on London Road. So not a great night for Dundee. And what about this from David? Quite a big talking point, I would say. Never heard a half-time reaction like it. It was something that Rodgers referenced after the game. I heard it here on the telly and thought, wow, that's quite something. But I was actually thinking during the first half, there's going to be a moment when this happens. And I thought it'd be like, usually happens after like a missed attack, but a really good football. And just Celtic Park kind of rises and everyone's like, right, this is what we're seeing. We really like it. I remember a game years ago at the start of the Neil Lennon era when we were all a bit down and attendances weren't great. And I think we were maybe winning 2-0 or 3-0. And it happened, and everyone was like, right, this is good. And it's an amazing moment, and it happened last night at halftime. What was that like, being in the stadium?
Yeah, it also reminded me of I think it was a first half performance against Dundee United under Ronnie Dyla. The one that Ertie scored. I remember that at halftime. There was, 6-1. You know, you'll get that response from the crowd if the crowd have appreciated your play.
Doesn't happen often though.
No,
it's a rare thing, but it's good. Like, mm-hmm. I think maybe Postecoglou had one as well. It was maybe in the St Mirren game. It basically happens when you're like, wow, we're seeing something special here.
Maybe.
I think your mic's gone, mate. It might have gone a wee bit quiet. Might just be me, but...
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's a Johnson game as well, in which... in Postecoglou's first season, I think that finished 7-0 in that game, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, there has been moments, but they're rare, and what a buzz that match. You could see them at half-time. They were actually bouncing off the park at half-time. Matt O'Reilly was giving his... I think he gave Yang a big cuddle at half-time because they were all feeding off it. They were all delighted. And when Kelly scored the 7th goal, both Yang and Johnson both ushered the crowd to make more noise because they're clearly feeding off of it. Something clicked last night. I don't know what it was, whether it was the good performance, whether it was a togetherness from the players and the fans, but there was something clicked and the players are really, really feeding off what they were hearing in the stands. It was a real joy to behold being at that game. I thought they were absolutely tremendous last night, and the crowd definitely played their part in all of that as well. Just a great night all round for Celtic.
How does a team go from being like so bad in that first half at Motherwell and me looking at it and almost saying, you know, they're not playing for the manager anymore? Like, it had that feel to it, to coming out in the second half and playing so much better and winning that game and then putting in a performance like that. Like, it's mad. It just shows that, like, it is there. And it also, to me, shows that there is still immense belief in the manager and in each other. It's clearly not a team going through the motions last night. And I just hope that we can kick on and you know, go on a run. Because if this is a Celtic team that's going to play like they did last night consistently, you know, we're going to do really well for the rest of the season. I mean, we're only 2 points behind. That's nothing. I think the big fear when we were behind was the level of the performance and the fact we looked like dropping points every time. And I repeat, last night's just one game and I'm trying not to get carried away. But if we can find a way to repeat that kind of performance, like, you know, it's going to be an exciting... We've got hope again, like real hope in what this team can produce.
Yeah, absolutely. There definitely is a lot of hope in and around the team at the moment. You can see that on the pitch too. They seem as if they've got a renewed sense of energy. I just think the team's galvanised after that Motherwell result. You know, getting the goal, getting the late goal from Ida, but then getting that third goal from Palmer to sort of make it more comfortable on the score sheet. I think they got a lot of confidence off of that because they were two really well-worked goals as well. You know, it showed that they didn't force the issue. They wanted to make it happen. They wanted to play their own style. And they got those two late goals that the play deserved because they dominated against Motherwell. It would have been a travesty if they didn't get the 3 points in that game, regardless of their poor performance for large portions. They dominated, but they absolutely dominated on last night, and I still think that they can be better than that. You know, the second half showed that they can improve. It's fine that they dropped off because they'd scored 7 goals after, like, what, 50-60 minutes. That's unheard of. I can see why they dropped their standards for the last 30, but, you know, if they play like that, they play like that another 10 times from now until the end of the league. That includes 2 Rangers games. If they do that, then they win the league. It is in their hands.
I didn't want to say that, but if you want to say that, I'm more than happy for you to do that.
If they play like that 10 times, there's not a team in the league that are stopping Celtic, because when Celtic play like that, they're virtually unbeatable domestically, because we know that they've got this in their locker. These players have got that. They've shown it, especially the older players that have been there before. They've got that in their locker, but if they can keep that going from now until the end of the season, take that into the Celtic Rangers games, then I think they'll do the business. It's all up to them keeping those standards going from now until the end of the season, and let's see what it takes us.
Yeah, it was brilliant last night, but it's one game, and if we slip up at Tynecastle on Sunday, you know, it's all going to be back to how we were feeling before. So that's the challenge for the players. They've got to go on Sunday and repeat that level of performance. That's what they were so good at last season, repeating that level of performance, you know, game to game. Every game was an opportunity to prove themselves, and they've got to look the same way. I really do think we'll kick on now. This, to me, feels different to the previous moments. I could be wrong, but I just think last night was so good, and like the atmosphere was so good, and everyone was so bought in to everything that I think the team will kick on now as my light dies. We may not win the league because, you know, we are behind, but as I say, we're only 2 points behind, game at a time. They are going to drop points across the city. Like they just are, and I'm talking about in other games, you know, away from the derbies. They're going to drop points. We need to just make sure that we capitalise on that. Brian saying, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we ever scored six under Ange at half-time. Nope, you're right. We didn't score six. In fact, I was trying to think if we've ever been 6-0 up at half-time. The immediate one I thought of was FK Sadova for some reason in 2002. That was 5-0 at half-time. Aberdeen 9-0, I think, was 4-0 at half-time. Dundee United 9-0, I think, was 4-0 at half-time. Mm-hmm. And I got a reply from a guy called Philip Harris on X, who said, and this is some knowledge or memory, whatever, 6-0 up at half-time against KPV Coca-Cola in 1970 European Cup, including a Harry Hood hat-trick, finished 9-0. I don't know if anyone out there can verify that, but pretty impressive knowledge. Daniel Kelly got his goal as well, which was well taken, and Rodgers spoke glowingly about him and Rocco Vatta after the game.
Yeah, great finish, weaker foot as well, first goal for Celtic. Couldn't have wrote it much better for the young talent. He seems as if he's very, very highly rated, both from his manager, who talks about how good he's been in training since he's made that step up to first team training, and the players, because look at the reaction that he got when he scored. They're all tapping his head quite playfully, but he seems like a very popular character in and around the dressing room. Cal McGregor was saying that he's quite infectious with his personality, and you need that to join a group filled with players, full of successful players that have done well for Celtic in the past. I know there's a mix between new players and old players at this moment in time, but if he can keep this going and get these performances going, then he's got every chance of being a first team Celtic player in the future. But that was great management from Brendan Rodgers, taking McGregor off at half time. The game was won. Give Kelly that moment to give him 45 minutes on the park with no pressure. The game was over. Allow him to go and express himself. You wouldn't have seen that sort of goal, I don't think, if, you know, the game was in the balance 2-3-0. He was allowed to come on with no pressure whatsoever, and, you know, well done to him. I know he's very highly rated. I think Liverpool were in for him, much like they were in for Ben Doak previously, but he stayed. He signed his first professional contract with Celtic, and he's getting his rewards because he's in and around the first team. He's on the bench more often than not nowadays, so that shows how close he is to breaking into that starting 11 for good. So all the best of him, and hopefully that's the first of many, as he said, in a Celtic top.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers was like so positive about Daniel Kelly, even just away from the goal, said that he'd been really impressed by his, you know, temperament and attitude since he'd come back to the club. And he was away in Portugal, wasn't he? And I think he was away in Japan as well with the team at the start of the season. So Rodgers clearly, you know, rates him very highly, and not just his talent as a footballer, but his kind of personality as well, which we know Brendan is big on. James saying, fantastic team performance, first for a while, guys. Still a wee bit nervous for Sunday. Yeah, I think nerves are good. Like, this is kind of what you want. It's a big game. We're going to all be very excited for Sunday now. Like, it's, yeah, it's away from derbies. I can't remember many bigger matches in recent seasons, you know, and tougher challenges. You know, Hearts are a good side at the moment. I know they gubbed at Ibrox last weekend, but we know how tough it can be in their own ground, although we've got a good record there. Brian, last night is a turning point in the season for this team. Last night had a different feel about it. That will do wonders for confidence going forward. Martin saying we'll have to win at Ibrox. Now, I must say I disagree with that. I agree with that. We're 2 points behind. I mean, the math says that if we drew at Ibrox and beat Rangers in the final derby at Celtic Park, and all the other results were, you know, the same or whatever, we'd win the league. We're only 2 points behind. I don't think we're at the stage where we have to go and win at Ibrox. I think we're capable of winning at Ibrox and I think we'll obviously be going for the victory, and I pray God that we win that game. But yeah, we've still got them to come at Celtic Park after that. I think as long as we are, you know, as long as we're a couple of points, you know, ideally I'd be ahead of them going at that final derby, but if we're a couple of points behind them, same as at the moment going into that final derby at Celtic Park, you kind of fancy your chances. But game at a time, Ryan. I'm sure people will be commenting to tell me that I get ahead of myself. Yeah.
The next game to think about is Hearts away from home, which is, for me anyway, the second biggest fixture on the fixture list for Celtic in a season. Hearts away, one of the most difficult away trips, even though Celtic have got a good record there. You know, the games always seem to be close, apart from maybe a few. The last one obviously wasn't close, but you know, in years gone by, they have been close between the two sides. Difficult game. Hearts will be up for it. I know they dropped points last night against Hibs. They were actually behind in that game, but they came back. But yeah, they'll up their game for Celtic. That is a guarantee. With any Hearts side, and the Hearts side managed by Stephen Naismith as well. Difficult game, but you're hoping that Celtic now have that form and that belief that they can go to any ground and win and play a style of football that's attractive and effective at the same time. So if they can replicate anything near what they showed last night, then I think they'll be fine in the game. Hearts won't sit back. Their fans just won't allow for that whatsoever. So it should be an interesting game on Sunday afternoon.
They've also, Hearts, like, they're kind of nailed on to finish third, aren't they? So it's not as if, like they're going to be playing for a point or anything. Like, they've kind of, I don't want to say the phrase, they've got nothing to lose, but it's kind of edging that way. Like, I feel like it's, as I say, they're going to finish third and they'd really like to beat us. So I think it is going to be, you know, a really, really exciting game on Sunday. But I repeat, if we bring the level we did last night, we'll deal with Hearts. And if we beat Hearts on Sunday, like, the belief will soar. Like, everyone will be really, 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 you know, excited, even more excited about the end of the season. Sean, just praising Yang as well, a player I was most happy for. He was twisting and turning. They ended up putting two defenders on him and they still couldn't stop him. Yeah, final call, Ryan. It's one game, but it was a very good game, and we move on to the next one.
Yeah, somebody in the comments was comparing Iwata to Rodri there, which, you know, if he's anywhere near,
is that not Kwon, who was the
Quadri? Yeah. I'm glad to see he's doing well for St Mirren at the moment, but I think Iwata's a couple of levels above, if I'm being perfectly honest. If you can get somebody that's important, as important to Celtic as Rodri is for Manchester City, then they'll be doing something right. I think this team has been crying out for a proper number six, and it seems as if now that Rodgers has realised that he's got one in his ranks in Iwata, and thank goodness for that, because the team just looks so much more balanced in that midfield. It's not getting overrun anymore, which is good. But yeah, last comments, just feeling pretty good after last night. It was a joy to be at, a joy to watch. I'm sure people enjoyed it just as much watching it on the TV as they did being at the game, but it was a great atmosphere. Felt like a turning point in the season. The galvanisation is there. Let's see if Celtic can bring it into Sunday's game as well against Hearts. But yeah, pretty good feeling all around from here.
Yeah, agreed. A small Celtic support at Tynecastle on Sunday. Jim just bringing that up, saying Hibs last night get the whole stand. We will have just over 550. What's going on? Basically, Hibs and Hearts have a kind of reciprocal agreement where they give, you know, for the derbies they give the away support a full stand, but basically everyone else at Tynecastle, including ourselves and Rangers, get one block basically. So that's what we're going to see on Sunday. I saw the Hibs CEO chatting yesterday about potentially them doing the same and reducing the away supports for Easter Road. I just think it's a bit of a shambles because there'll be empty seats on Sunday at Tynecastle. But anyway, there's bigger fish to fry there. It's what happens on the pitch that's most important. Just before we go, this video has been brought to you by MPH Group, plumbing, heating, kitchens, bathrooms, and Navien as well. MPH have a Navien boiler promotion for you. You get a free Navien internet controller, flexible finance options, and much more with that. Right, I'm away tomorrow, so I think it'll be Ryan and Tony, I guess, looking ahead to the Hearts game, which will be very exciting. I'll be back on Monday looking back on that and yeah, be have a good time in the meantime. Thanks very much, everyone. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, guys.